From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Alrighty, Phoenix, it's Billy. And before we get into this week's conversation, can we just take a second and talk about what an absolutely incredible Memorial Day weekend this was for our community? Seriously, from Grit Saturday Night to Beer Bust over at Pato's Bunkhouse, the IML watch parties, all the bars, patios, pool decks, dance floors, and little moments in between, there was so much happening across the valley this weekend, it honestly felt like the community was vibrating with a different kind of energy. And we really hope you got to be a part of at least some of it, because weekends like this are important. They remind us that community isn't just a word that we throw around online. It's hugs at a bar. It's meeting someone new at a watch party. It's screaming during the title announcements. It's dancing when you need it most. It's chosen family checking in on each other over cocktails, beer bus cups, pool parties, and late night conversations. And speaking of IML, a huge, huge congratulations to Honey Davenport for bringing home International Mr. Leather title for the second year in a row for Palm Springs. That's huge. That's absolutely huge. The Palm Springs Leather Order of Desert is obviously doing something incredible with their candidates. And honestly, we're grateful that we've gotten a chance to meet Honey, spend time with them both here in Phoenix and out in Palm Springs, and watch the journey to continue to grow. Seeing people from our extended queer desert family shine on an international stage like that, that matters. And this coming weekend, we're actually headed out to our sister city of Palm Springs to hopefully be a part of a little queer history ourselves during Marilyn 100, the massive citywide celebration honoring what would have been Marilyn Monroe's 100th birthday. Palm Springs Pride is attempting to break the Guinness World Records for the largest gathering of Marilyn Monroe lookalikes ever assembled, meaning hundreds of people in platinum wigs, white dresses, martinis in hand, all gathered around the iconic Forever Marilyn statue in downtown Palm Springs. Honestly, it sounds gloriously chaotic in the gayest way possible, and we can't wait to be a part of it. And all of this, all of these events, all of these moments, all of these connections is really becoming the heartbeat of what we're building at Gay PHX. Community conversations, not just broadcasting at people, not just throwing events on a calendar, but helping people feel connected to something bigger than themselves. And we're incredibly excited because we've got a couple of things currently under development that we're going to help bring even more community connection directly to you in brand new ways. So keep checking with Gay PHX across the radio apps, streams, and online, and we're excited as hell about where it's at. Before we dive in today, huge love to everyone who's supporting Danae Pride fundraiser along with Gabagool right now. The clock is moving fast, the need is real, and every share, every post, every donation, every conversation helps. Community only works when we show up for each other, and watching people rally around this project has been really beautiful. Now, speaking of queer storytelling and creating spaces where voices actually get to exist, today we're sitting down with indie game developer Cody Ford, creator of Heatwave Sam's Story, a cinematic queer gaming experience centered around identity, vulnerability, sexuality, self-discovery, and choice. And the timing couldn't be better because the full game officially launches on Steam this week. But first, you know him, you love him, and somewhere in Phoenix, he's probably dropped his tank top on the floor already. Let's pass things over to Brian for this week's Hot 3.
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 Phoenix, this week is giving cultural chaos, bingo babes, and enough harnesses at Cobalt to make your Apple Watch ask if you started a cardio program. We're talking art galleries with foot potential, 80s drag bingo fueled by frosting and fabulousness, and a bear pack gear night where the harness is tight, the beats are filthy, and somebody is absolutely making poor decisions in our crop harness. Honestly, nature is healing. This is Brian's Hot 3, your Desert Den Daddy approved guide to where the glitter sticks, the cocktails hit, and the gays are fully booked through the weekend. Let's do it. Hot pick number one. Pay What You Wish Wednesday at the Phoenix Art Museum. Wednesday, May 27th from 3 to 9. Nothing says mysterious queer intellectual quite like wandering through an art museum pretending you totally understand abstract expressionism. Phoenix Art Museum Pay What You Wish Wednesdays are giving everybody access to galleries, exhibitions, and the opportunity to dramatically stare at the painting while holding an ice cocktail and make an intense eye contact with a stranger across the room. It's classy, it's cultured, it's also air-conditioned, which honestly makes it one of Phoenix's sexiest attractions by default. Wear black, look thoughtful, flirt beside a sculpture nobody understands. Hot pick number 2, Aunt Rita's Bake Sale Bingo at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, Friday, May 29th at 6 p.m. Okay, but this is gay community magic right here. Aunt Rita is taking bingo, drag, baked goods, and a full-blown 80s nostalgia and throwing them into a blender set to fabulous. Hosted by drag icon Rita Vane, this fundraiser is serving retro outfits, bingo prizes, cake auctions, and enough neon energy to revive an entire jacuzzi studio. And somewhere in that room, someone's shoulder pads are going to be wider than their emotional availability. But behind all the glitter, teased hair, and aggressively frosted cupcakes, the night supports HIV, STI prevention programs, and services across America. Go tease that hair. Grab those bingo cards and scream bingo like your rent just got paid. Hot pick number 3 is Mega Wolf America Gear Night at Cobalt Bar, Saturday, May 30th at 9 p.m. Alright boys, hydrate now, stretch now, emotionally prepare now. Mega Wolf America is back at Cobalt bringing bears, DJs, go-go's, fetish gear, and enough beefcake energy to temporarily disrupt satellite communications. We've got DJs, Glow Vibes, and DJ Moody throwing down beats while harnesses creak, dance floor shake, and somebody named Randy absolutely ruined your ability to focus for the rest of the night. This is leather, and this is sweat. This is I was only stopping in for one drink becomes a 2 a.m. life decision. And honestly, that's beautiful. Unleash your inner bear or outer bear or whatever growling situation you've got going. Stay hydrated, stay fabulous, and if someone asks, want to see my gear collection? Just know you're about to lose at least an hour of your evening. Okay, Phoenix, this is one of those weeks where the city feels extra alive. The music's louder, the flirting's bolder, and the glitter somehow ends in the places glitter should never legally reach. So go out, be loud, be sweaty, and for the love of disco balls, stop pretending you were going to stay home anyway. I'm your Desert Den Daddy Brian, reminding you that life's too short for boring nights, weak cocktails, and sensible text messages after midnight. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio tower, I'm Brian, your Desert Den Daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GayPHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the Valley.
This is what community sounds like.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person with your tax year countdown. If you move states this year, your income and deductions may need to be split between states. Tracking what is earned where now makes filing smoother and prevents notices later. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
Today on Gay PHX, you're stepping into a story that doesn't usually get told. At least not like this. Our next guest is a 28-year-old game developer from the UK, bringing queer storytelling front and center with Heatwave, Sam Stay, a cinematic experience about self-discovery, identity, and sexual awakening. This is about more than a game. It's about creating space for stories that feel real, raw, and unapologetically ours. Please welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Cody!
Hello.
Oh, Cody, thank you so very much for joining us here today.
Yeah. Having me.
What was the moment you realized that you wanted to create a game like this?
Ooh, good question. I've been creating gay artwork and like erotica tinted artwork for a while, like probably 4 years when I first got commissioned to do some artwork by someone that asked, that knew I was gay and wondered if I wanted to do like erotica artwork or NSFW or adult, whatever you want to call it. I don't know, like I work in the games industry as my main job, and I thought it would be cool to do my own project. And since I already had a following online in this world, and I think it's like a decent niche market and not a lot of products of super high quality that I thought I could offer something new in the space. So yeah, that's really where it stemmed from.
So when you started building Heatwave Sam's story, what story were you trying to tell at its core?
And it has obviously, you always inject some of your own stuff, right? In anything you do, I think, as a storyteller, or in this case, a video game maker. I think the main story that I wanted to tell was really something that felt somewhat grounded, but still gave the opportunity to show a lot of, it is in the end, like adult content, right? So yeah, there's a lot of sex scenes and stuff like that in it, but I didn't want it to just basically be porn, but to have a little bit more. Storytelling is not known in the porn world as something that plays a vital part,
right?
It's not what most of you give, something that has a little bit more quality in that sense as well for people that are into that. So yeah, basically offer something different and new.
I was at a party over the weekend, and there was, of course, porn playing in the background, and there was one where it was supposed to be a scientist building a like sex robot. Yes. And if they're in a garage, they didn't even decorate the scene.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I mean, I think we've all seen probably some stuff that were like, what in the world? How right. Does yeah, so
obviously
I like
the background is not the focus. So
yeah. Because there's a lot of good like gay stories, right? That in like, for instance, now the name is gonna Heat of Rivalries, like that was recent. Right. That was obviously very sexual, a bit of a high quality standard. But it's obviously oftentimes when it comes with that high quality standard, it comes with that it doesn't act, is not explicit. And I wanted to do a project that I believe still has a high quality, but is explicit. But isn't, and obviously it's not as storytelling wise as a book, right? It is a bit more porny in the sense that there's a lot of sex scenes in it, and most of them make some sense, but also not. I don't want to pretend like it's going to be like Heated Rivalries where it's like hours of talking before two people get it on.
I think we're not on HBO. We don't need to stretch it out.
Exactly. I don't think there's my audience has the patience to deal with that. But yeah, that was basically where it came from mostly.
Now, a lot of games touch on relationships, but yours leans on self-discovery and sexual awakening. Why is that important for you to explore?
I think it's an experience that a lot of queer and people like in our community can relate to, because I think a lot of people, if you're born straight, you might still have also obviously self-discovery and different parts about yourself that you don't know about or that you learn about as you get older and go through different experiences. But obviously being queer, being part of the LGBT community, like that plays in most people's lives, that plays a much bigger role. So telling a story that encapsulates that a little bit, at least, I think will be something that people can hopefully see a little bit of themselves in. So it's a little bit more relatable. And I think stories that are relatable will always land better with the audience than stories that they have nothing to do with their own lives. So yeah, I hope that people can, and I'm not saying it's a super in-depth story about him coming to terms with his sexuality, but it plays a part in it, which hopefully helps sell the believability of the story a little bit more.
I'll say in my experience in playing the demo and seeing it, which is the whole reason why I've been like reaching out and saying I need to have you on, was because it was such an interesting perspective, because you're in the head of the character and you hear all these self-doubts and you hear all these questioning things. And those are the things that we go through, but you never see that like in a movie or in anything really. They just know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I feel exactly. that fills that blank. That's what is that in between of a full-fledged movie or something like Heated Rivalry and then like porn. I feel like you've hit that sweet spot in that middle ground for our
audience. That's great to hear. That's exactly, I think, the goal. I think it's a good way to put it. Like it's an in between like mainstream media and like explicit porn content where it's trying to mix both worlds a bit and take the best bits from each.
Now help our audience. Who is Sam and what makes his journey worth following?
So Sam is a 20-year-old who has had a tough upbringing. Like his mom used to be a drug addict, and this story revolves around him staying with a boyfriend that his mother used to have back in the day. In the time when his mother was a drug addict and this guy also was in a bad space in his life. So Sam has no idea really why his mom has allowed him to stay with this guy, because typically it's not something that his mom can be quite protective. I don't want to spoil too much, but in the story, you'll find out more and hints in the beginning as to what is really behind Sam going there, but always not as it seems in the beginning. I'll just say that.
And that's part of the intriguing part of the game that makes the mystery of it that you want to discover.
Yeah, you want to know why is Sam staying with this guy? Why? And there's a bit of an explanation in the beginning, but in the end, that explanation might not quite fully be true.
And how much of the story comes from personal experience versus just pure storytelling?
It's a good question. I'd say the vast majority of people think if they look at the sex scenes, they'll be like, man, you've been on some adventures. We've all been through phases, right, in our life. So I'll say some of it is definitely, obviously, experiences I've also had. But the majority of it is storytelling mixed in with reality, or not necessarily also things that I've done or experienced, but people I know have told me about.
Sure.
in the LGBTQ, my friends. So yeah, it's definitely a mix. Any story you write, I think, even if you're writing a story not about yourself, just the way the brain works, it's going to heavily be influenced by your own stories, your own experiences, your friends' experiences, etc.
Just your own association of it feels familiar, or
yeah,
something
exactly.
That either my or my friends have experienced, because again, it's kind of our lore of our canon.
Yes, exactly. In our canon. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Now, what's something that queer storytelling in games, what's missing in games right now with queer storytelling?
First of all, I don't think there is very much of it to begin with. There are definitely some great gay games, right, out there with great stories, but there is not a lot of it. Obviously, it is, just by the nature of it, a relatively smaller market for a major game studio to specifically target audience. What sure. Are we? Maybe, I don't know, I don't know the exact percentage, right? But let's say 90% of the world does not, or...
The theory is, yeah, we're 10% of the population. It's the working theory we'll go with.
Yeah. So, you know, any company, obviously, when they make a decision to make a game, there is a big incentive to not make a game for the 10% when you could make a game for the 90%. So I think there is just very few games that do this kind of thing. And then I also think that I have upped the quality level somewhat.
Oh, you certainly have. The visuals in the game are second to none.
I'm glad you think so. That's good to hear. Yeah, I do have experience in the main AAA gaming. That's what my day-to-day normal job is in. I'm bringing a little bit of AAA experience into an indie title that tries to still retain some of that quality without obviously having the budget or the team size to make a full AAA game like that.
Hey, as someone who's building an independent radio station, I understand completely. I'm taking my corporate knowledge of everything that I've learned from the past, and I'm trying to bring it to our community to build something new, something fresh. So I get it. I understand. I can completely relate to that.
Exactly. Awesome. Yeah, so we're the same in many ways. It's a similar theme.
Now, what kind of emotions do you want someone to walk away with after playing this game?
I hope they're satisfied after playing the game, because obviously there is a lot of adult content that I hope people find. Obviously, the goal of it is to be pleasurable, but also to feel represented a little bit, or that they had something that was really created for them. Like, very... what word am I looking for? Infrequently, LGBTQ people find media content where they're really like, wow, I am the target audience for this.
Right.
So I hope that this offers those people some representation and some, oh, wow, you know what? This game was truly made for me and no one else, in a space where I don't think that happens a lot.
Now, we've described this as a cinematic experience. How can you explain that to someone who's never played something like this?
I think in many ways, for people who are unfamiliar with video games or maybe know the Mario Karts of the world, stuff like that, it is cinematic in the sense that it is basically, you can view it as watching a movie where you have some input in what happens inside the movie. You might decide if you are going, what sentence you're going to say next, which will change the dialogue that you have with a person, or you can change which person you want to follow for a certain event, which will change the outcome of the scenes that are going to happen. But all of it does happen in a relatively linear story where your decisions shape, you know, roughly what happens and what conversations you have. So in many ways, it's a cinematic movie that you watch where you have some input on which scenes get displayed in the movie.
Now, when you're creating an adult game like this, have you run into any kind of pushback, or because you're independent, nobody can tell you what to do?
A little bit of that, but in the current climate, for those familiar with it, they'll know a lot about it. But there's been some dramas or pushback from credit card companies a few months ago that were lobbied by mainly an Australian conservative group called Collective Shout, who pressured credit card companies like Visa and MasterCard into censoring games off of platforms like Steam and Itch. So Itch doesn't list. Listing means they won't show your game at all anymore. If it's an adult game, people have to manually have the link to be able to purchase it. So they'll only do showcase free games, because then MasterCard and Visa don't have to get involved. Steam does still show adult games, even if they're paid, but has more stricter regulations on it. And a lot of the times these regulations are like for very obscene stuff, like rape scenes, things
sure.
like that.
But right.
Most people
will the be extremes.
Like,
yeah,
the extremes.
They're just trying but to categorize time, us as extreme.
Yeah. Yeah, that, or it might, it's not said that gay games are not allowed. I'm not going to say that. But a lot of the times that kind of mindset starts trickling down into other subgenres of porn. First it was rape, but then it becomes BDSM, and then gay is also slightly, or queer stories are also slightly strange. Right. So there is definitely some worrying trends in the world and in the space, but so far I've not felt too much, oh, I need to be careful with what I say. I can't add anything remotely controversial. Like, they can't be drinking any alcohol or two, like one drink, for instance. But as soon as there's two or three drinks, maybe there could be non-consent. And then you don't want to get any kind of trouble. So you just play it a little bit safe. So you try and tell interesting stories without going crazy, which I guess is slight pushback, but nothing major, because I didn't set out for this game to be controversial and be right. like going into a lot of taboos. There's plenty of games out there like that for people that enjoy or are into those things. I'm not really into many of those myself, so therefore I also didn't feel the need to put that in the game, really.
Well, and then on the flip side, what kind of support reactions have surprised you the most?
It's been overwhelming, to be honest. When I first made the game, obviously I have a bit of a following on Twitter for my artwork, but there's over 12,000 people now that have wishlisted the game on Steam, which is an insane number, to be honest. The reviews for the demo have all been so overwhelmingly positive, and people sending me tons of messages with input and ideas and thank you. So yeah, it's been pretty mind-blowing. It clearly shows that there is such a desire for more content like this.
There's yearning.
Kind of scratches that itch.
Definite yearning. Because when was it you released the demo?
December 2025.
Okay. And so I've been trying since December to get you on.
Seriously, true.
Because I was blown away. Because one, as a former person who worked briefly, very briefly, in the video game industry, getting a demo that one, not only worked beginning to end.
Yeah.
Without crashing.
What kind of games did you work on?
I worked on an MMO that went nowhere.
Oh, wow. Oh, God. That's a big project.
Yeah. It was, just to take a little diversion here, it was an MMO that was being developed. It was being compared to World of Warcraft. It was an honor to be a part of that and to be compared to that, because we had a team of 28 people across the world that worked on it. So that was really cool. Except that during that time, free-to-play came out while we were developing it, and our game was not designed to be free-to-play. And then they tried to pigeonhole it in, and you know how that works.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. No.
Or doesn't work.
So making such big changes late in development is asking for nightmares.
Yeah. You know, that lower bar of entry, everything they had built that was just part of the game, they then tried to charge for, and it just became a mess. And so, anyways. Yeah. That's not what we're here about.
It's also interesting to know a little bit about you, a bit of context.
Yes. Now, what's one detail or feature of the game that you're especially proud of that people might overlook?
I think a lot of people, but that's more my own fault than the people play the demo. So I've tried to make that more clear, hint at it more in the full game, is there is a cinematic story that I've talked about and that you can change that depending on the choices you make. But I also wanted to add a few other like gameplay elements. I've added some hidden stories throughout the scenes where there are pieces of paper and the story is that just some person in this world is spreading, either be it real stories that they know about people, or maybe it's a writer trying to showcase their writing about stories. And throughout the scenes in the games, you can find these parts of the stories, which are completely unrelated to Sam, the main character, or the characters that you meet. But I do think it's pretty fun to be able to highlight completely different stories in that way without having to find a way to make it logical inside the flow of the main game. So I quite enjoyed those, writing those stories. And yeah, I think not that many people have interacted with them because they're really difficult to find in the demo, like ridiculously difficult. I was thinking everyone is going to be, I don't know, have some sort of x-ray vision. So I've made it a lot easier to find them in the full game, which hopefully means more people will engage with it as well.
Now I feel like I have to go back to the demo. Now that's a challenge.
Yes. And I can tell you where they are. Honestly, it's going to take you hours to find them. They're a bit ridiculous.
If I give up, I'll poke you.
Let me know.
How do you balance storytelling with player choice when you build something like this? Like, how much control does the player have over Sam's actual journey?
It's a good question. Like a lot of games, how you tackle this varies depending on the game. There's a bit of a balance to strike between the more choices that you... I don't want any choice in the game not to have any effect on the game, because I hate playing games where they give you like four choices or two choices, and no matter which one you pick, the exact same thing happens afterwards. I'm like, why give me the choice then? I don't want the idea that you thought you had a choice and then you actually... It was all nonsense. So every choice, at least at the minimum, it gives you some different dialogue based on your choice. And at most, it changes if you want to be the top or a bottom in a sex scene, which then completely obviously changes what happens afterwards. It's a bit of a balance to strike between the more choices you give. And again, I want all my choices to have at least some impact, right? It creates a lot more work, whilst a lot of people will not be able to see all that other work that you're doing. So the game will be shorter as a sacrifice for having more choices. So I hope to have struck a decent balance between making it feel like you are interacting with, you know, guiding Sam through the story and having a real genuine impact on what happens, whilst not giving you so many choices that you only get to experience like 30% of the game after one playthrough. Some people might be into that because they want to play many times, but yeah, that's the balance I've gone with.
So is there replayability? So that you can go back through and change different choices and see what happens?
Yes, for sure. There is also a reversing time feature in the game, but especially for like bigger choices where it depends like which character do you want to go with, for instance, at certain points. You can obviously go with one character, play out the whole scene, the other, whatever happens, and then spam click back for 100 times or whatever. But most likely it would be more comfortable to just play the story, make your choices, and then go back and be like, okay, but now what if I had gone with that person? What would have happened with that person? Or what would have happened if I had said this to this person instead of what I said? So I'd say there's definitely at least twice that you can play the game and have quite a significantly different experience. And then you could play the third time or fourth time if you are one of those people that really wants to know exactly what would have happened for every choice.
All the different options and storylines.
Yeah. Some people were like, oh, I'm one of those people that needs to have selected every dialogue option and know exactly what was said. So those people will definitely take a while to get through the game. But yeah, definitely, I think replayability at least twice to see all the different scenes.
Now, for someone who's never played a game like this before, why should they give it a shot?
If you want to try something new, if it sounded so far from what you've heard, like something that you might be interested in, I'm not going to tell anyone this is going to be the most amazing experience you've ever had. So do it. I think there is an audience for it. And if anyone listening to this checks out the game trailer or the store page and you think, nah, this isn't for me, it probably isn't for you. And you think, oh, this looks hot, this looks like something I would enjoy, then it's probably something you would enjoy. So yeah, basically I tell people just to go with their gut if they give it a look.
Where do you see queer gaming going in the next few years? Where would you like to work to fit into that?
Ooh, good question. I don't know if I have that much agency or the credits to back up a very strong opinion on where general community games will go to. I think there will be more indie development. The way generally the games industry is doing right now is doing very poorly. It's also kind of part of why I started this project as well, as a kind of a plan B for if I lose my main job.
Sure.
So I think there will be a lot more indie people, the indie games, which means like a small studio. You obviously know that, but for some of your viewers, like a very small team, one or two people making their own games, because there's a lot less funding from bigger investments currently in the games industry. And I think that will lead to more queer games, because when individuals make a game, they're much more likely to make a game that represents something about them or their life. And again, like I mentioned before, the 10 to 90% a company is just much less likely to make a game that has some sort of queer theme in it, because you are making a game for 10% when you could be profiting off of the 90%. So I hope that a silver lining of the games industry generally doing really badly is that we'll get more indie games that will represent a more diverse culture.
And I agree, because the same thing happens. We talk to people who make movies and TV shows and things as well, and they say Hollywood, the big companies, they don't invest into queer or independent products because they can't afford to hit a miss. Costs so much now. The media mergers that are going across the globe and the consolidation means we can't have nice things. So we need to make our own, and that's what you're doing, and that's what's brilliant about what I love what you're doing. And if this game is just the beginning, what's next for you in a perfect world? Like, where do you see yourself in 5 years if this game takes off?
That's a good question. In the perfect world, I would love to expand in the story in a wider sense, but I'm also not delusional that I think it has a niche audience.
Sure.
And the people that will, the target audience, I think will very much like it. But there is the gamer community and the queer gamer community that's also into adult games. There are boxes within boxes that create a smaller group of people. I would like to expand those boxes so more people that normally would not have considered playing a game like this or would have never heard that this kind of game exists will give it a go. So if I can do that, then I'm already very happy and I feel like I've already achieved a lot. In the next 5 years, I'd love to continue Sam's story. The story has an ending, but it's not, there's nowhere else to take the story. There's a lot of things that I'd like and that I also a little bit set up in the game as well. If you watch a series, like the series ends, but there's still an idea that there could be a second season coming.
Life continues, if there is enough funding. Right, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't want, if the game flopped, I didn't want it to feel like, oh, it ends on a massive cliffhanger, like the whole, it's incomplete. But I also wanted to allow myself the opportunity that if the game was successful, when I did want to create another one, that there's more to tell. And based on the reaction I've had, I definitely am confident I will be making another one. So yes, I will. I would like to continue the story, Sam's story, in the next year or two, but also in the next five.
Excellent. I know for me, the closest thing I had to something like this, I'll just say growing up, because it was the advent of computers. The closest thing I could say I had was probably Leisure Suit Larry, which is not a good comparison.
I have no idea what that is. What is that?
It's a really old game about a guy in a leisure suit trying to get laid, but actually doesn't ever get laid. That's the whole kind of joke of it.
Oh, he's a dweeb.
Yes, he's a dweeb. But that was, as a kid, the closest thing I had to a video game that was also sexy that kind of taught me how to navigate an adult world, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But not the right adult world, because that was the straight world. So that's why when I saw Sam, like all these memories and all these things clicked in my head, like, oh, this is brilliant. This is going to be awesome for someone who was like my age that really gets into video games and can discover this and be like, oh, these thoughts, these experiences, they're not just mine. They're not just in my head. They're things that are out there in the world that really happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
And that's what I think is magical about what you've built. It, like I said, it's that in between. It's not your Mario Kart kind of game. It's not porn. It's not a movie. It's that in between of everything. It gives you that opportunity to put yourself in a situation and make choices without any real world consequences and see what could potentially happen based on the things that we've lived in our lives.
Yeah, exactly. That's like a great way to put it, actually.
Now, for anyone listening right now, how can they follow your work and support what you're building?
If you'd like to check out the game, obviously the main biggest support is giving it a wishlist on Steam. The algorithm loves seeing wish lists. So basically, it's just indicating that you would like to try out the game. The demo is completely free, so you can give it a go, play it, see if it's for you. And if you like it, then you can wishlist it, which just means you'll get an email when the game releases on the 28th of May next month. And otherwise, you can follow me on the usual social media accounts, Twitter, Reddit, and that's Cody Ford Art on all of those websites. Yeah.
Awesome. And also, I want to encourage our listeners. This is how we fight back, so to speak, without having to fight back or without having to invest anything, by adding something to a wish list, by helping Cody fight the algorithm, so to speak. You're helping spread the word, and it costs you nothing but signing up for a free account and lining up. So please take the effort to do that. Cody, I can't thank you enough for coming on and doing this. I can't thank you enough for the work that you're doing. I can't wait. When does the game actually come out?
So 28th of May, I believe, midday. I don't actually know the time of day that will come out, but 28th of May is when the full game will release.
All right.
For $9.99 US or cheaper, depending on what country you're from, because Steam calculates it based on GDP a little bit. So $9.99 will be the first week discount. Eventually, after that first week discount expires, the game will be $11.99. And again, cheaper, depending on what country you're from.
You've got me signed up. I'm definitely buying it when it comes out. I cannot wait to play the full version.
I'm glad to hear it.
Again, Cody, thank you so very much for joining us today. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to do this. I know I've been asking since December, so I really appreciate you doing it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Another reason we love this community.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about health and intimacy. Talking about sexual health doesn't have to be awkward. It can actually be empowering and even, dare I say, sexy. Being open with your partner builds trust, confidence, and connection, and therefore more pleasure. Start simple. Share your story, ask permission to ask questions, and talk about what safety means to you in a way that feels natural. Keep it friendly, not formal. It's not an inquisition. It's a conversation. Remember, everyone deserves to feel safe and respected. There's no shame in knowing your body, getting tested, treating your HIV or an STI, or setting boundaries. In fact, that's all something to be proud of. So keep it honest, keep it respectful, and keep it friendly. Because when we talk openly about sexual health, we're not just protecting ourselves, we're taking care of each other.
Pride lives here.
Alrighty, Phoenix, before we go, a huge thank you again to Cody Ford for joining us today and for creating something that honestly feels fresh, vulnerable, sexy, heartfelt, and unapologetically queer in a way we don't get to see nearly enough. And congratulations again on the release of Heatwave Sam's Story hitting Steam this week. And to you. Yes, you. Thank you. Seriously, thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the stream. Thank you for telling your friends, for showing up at events, at bars, at fundraisers, at Pride celebrations, and for continuing to support local queer media while so much of the world feels increasingly corporate, filtered, and disconnected. Because that's what Gay PHX really is. We're not corporate media. We're not big social media. We're not some giant broadcasting company sitting in a skyscraper deciding what queer stories deserve attention. We're just local queer media, built by community, powered by community, and growing because of our community. And honestly, that matters now more than ever. So keep joining the conversation. Keep sending us your events, your stories, your music, your projects, your fundraisers, your voices, your ideas. Keep helping us build something that actually reflects this community from the ground up, instead of waiting for someone else to tell our stories for us. And don't forget, we've got some really exciting live streams and new community connection ideas currently in development. So keep checking in with GayPHX across radio apps and online, because there's a lot more coming soon. So until next time, if you see us out and about, come grab a selfie with us. We love you, Phoenix.
We're together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side. We're together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX Podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.